Climb aboard for adventure. Your traveling companions are fellow fans of Doctor Who. That's right, it's the podcast Discussing Who, exploring the worlds of Doctor Who, past, present, and future. Find out more at discussingwho.com.
The Discussing Network presents Discussing Comics, episode number 58. I'm Kyle Jones, and I want to welcome back on this episode, Ron Stevens. Ron, how are you?
Pretty good, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. I was thinking about the last time we were on together, which was My Comic Shop Country. So it's been a few months. So my question to you, how are you doing? Are you surviving the pandemic and everything good with you?
Oh, yeah, man. Hunkered down pretty good. Taking it day by day right now. Yeah, all's well, man.
So what about comic books? Have you ventured back into getting comics yet?
Yes. I'm still trying to get used to Marvel's scheduling because they're not releasing all of their books weekly now. They're doing it bi-weekly. So they're slowly trying to ease into not trying to bombard other comic book shops with their stuff. So I get that. But yeah, I picked up on Spider-Man. I'm trying to catch up on that for a little bit, and it's still a good read. And that's trying to say that as unbiased as possible as being a Spider-Man fan. But yeah, that's a pretty good read. I need to catch up with some of the X-Men stuff, though. But yeah, but that's mainly that I was catching up on my main superhero guy.
So let me ask you this. Do you find yourself maybe, and I know they're, you know, being sporadically released, but do you find yourself now less inclined to read maybe a title that you were just reading on the peripheral and was not really invested in? Do you find that maybe you've lost complete interest in that?
I may have lost a little bit of interest in some of the X-Men books, but at the same time, I kind of like that they're not doing weekly releases anymore, or at least for right now. It definitely gives you more of a time to actually catch up with certain books that you had, you know, that you picked up previously, you know. So it doesn't make you feel, like I said, it doesn't make you feel rushed to constantly go back to the shop and pick up a certain book that you might be halfway invested in, you know. Like I said, it definitely gives you more time to actually read up on certain things that you are really interested in. And also it kind of made me look into, like, I want to look into, like, narrowing my collection really on what is that I want to hold on to. Cause there's certain, during this whole pandemic thing, I've been really doing some inventory checks on my collection, and some books I have don't really have that much value to me, or like I can give it away if I wanted to right now. But like my main thing right now is looking at collecting Spider-Man.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, what I have done, and I've not mentioned this, I don't think, on this show yet, not a couple of months, it's probably been about a year ago, I started with the Marvel Digital app with Fantastic Four number one. Mm-hmm. And let me preface by saying that I am without a doubt not reading every single issue. There's a good 75 I know that I have looked through, but I've been basically flipping through like you would flip through pages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm up to the 355th issue now. So
wow.
That's something that I've been doing, is going through that. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Seeing how everything has changed. You know, you could see the decades change by the stories.
You really can. Mm-hmm. And even seeing certain things, like you are reading up on something that you're in currently, and like, I don't think I remember all that much about it. And then you go back to where that originated from. You're like, oh, and that's how that came up. You know, it's really fun that doing that way sometimes. And the one book I've picked up on that I loved, it was I'm harping on Spider-Man right now, but it's Spider-Man Blue. That's probably one of my favorite Spider-Man stories. And it just, how it just focused on not just Spider-Man, but more so on the supporting cast in the Spider-Man comics, and his love for Gwen Stacy as well. It's very unique and very interesting story, you know. It definitely shines a whole new light on Gwen Stacy for sure, too.
Well, we were talking about decades and we were talking about things that have changed. And in our last episode of Discussing Comics, Ryan Kent and I sat down and we had a discussion about what's going on with the Flash TV series, about the gentleman getting fired because of some of his racist and sexist tweets. And of course, we were watching the video from Anthony Mackie that he was on The Tonight Show. And without going into that again, I want to ask you, from your point of view, from your opinion, you know, there's been a lot going on. We've been talking about pandemics for months, but we've also been talking about change. There's a cultural change that seems to be happening in the United States. And I know as a white guy, I can't be someone who can experience what it is like for you or Clarence to be a black man in America. And I know for you specifically, you are the father of a interracial child. And I want to know, from your opinion, what have you been feeling this experience from your point of view of what might be changing and maybe some of the hopes that you have for the world your son will grow up in?
I guess you say in the climate of change, the climate of it all is somewhat challenging. There's like my wife's side of the family, or I guess you could say certain members of her family, they are not very fond of people of my color, of my skin. So that is something that I had don't necessarily have to deal with because I don't have to really interact with them like that. But it's the ones that do love me, that ones that do, you know, I talk to, those are what I care most about. But having a son that's, you know, interracial, but what I want for him is that my hopes for him is that, you know, people will, you know, will judge him just by the content of his character, not because of his, you know, the color of his skin. And I want him to be a bridge, really, to between all cultures, especially in, you know, in this country. That's my hope for everybody from this point on now, is that we can bridge this racial gap that we've had for centuries. And seeing what's been going on lately, it's like I said, it's been an issue that's been going on for a long time. And seeing people, you know, certain military bases' names are being changed. Here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, we have Fort Bragg, which apparently was named after a Confederate soldier who was also a slave owner. And that's one of 41 or 40 plus military bases in the United States are being changed. And, you know, a few monuments are being taken down, which is great. It's good things. Those are all good things. And also seeing justice for George Floyd. And what I would hope is that it's not going to change the main issue that is going on. And there's no legislation, there's no like monument you can take down necessarily that can solve the real issue that's going on. And the real issue is humanity, or the lack of humanity that's been around. If you can watch a man basically watch one man put his knee in another man's neck, gasping for air and pleading for his, you know, for his mother and all that, and watch him die and he not flinch or anything, and you don't feel anything like that, that's a problem. You know, that is a real problem if you don't feel anything about that. And like I said, it's a humanity thing, and we need to change that. Is that this whole this systemic racism needs to stop. That needs to be brought to an end. We're all equal in any every way you look at that, you know. So it's time that we need to, and there needs to be people to bridge that gap. We need to look at other people's, you know, perspectives. We all come through different walks of life. We have to be more understanding of that, regardless of what we look like, regardless of what we believe in. And coming together is, I mean, that's what our country's name is, the United States of America. I mean, all states, all people in this country are united, and we haven't acted that way in a long time. That's what I want for my son, is to change that. Do I see it happening in my lifetime? I don't know. But I have hopes and I have faith in that it will change in the future. And I hope for my son to do that going on to help change what my generation couldn't, who is trying to do, but it's not much is being done.
Here's my thoughts on what you just said. Number one, brilliantly and beautifully put, you know, and I hope everything that you just hope for comes to pass. And, you know, I'm going to sound negative about what I'm about to say or the way I'm going to say it, but I don't think our country has ever been united on that front, because ultimately our country was built by white people, or founded, not built, because it was a lot of it was built by people who were slaves at the behest of white people. And I understand that I am a white guy, and I understand that because I am a white guy, there are things that, you know, I will never experience because of that. And I totally 1,000,000% get that. I do believe that there are, because of the way our society was built, yes, it said to, you know, for everyone is created equal, et cetera, and so forth. But their mindset of many people that I think that wrote that were looking at faces just like themselves. And they were talking about, yes, we are all created equal. We all in this room, not the people outside this room. But yet I think since then, everything has transformed, and we literally are a melting pot, not just of ideas, but of cultures, of pigmentation, from darker to lighter to whatever
just shape, all form. The entire world, that we are the reflection of everything in this entire world. And for us to not act in a way of showing unity, it just makes us hypocrites.
Agreed.
You know, it just makes us look hypocrites. To, you know, I was reading this devotional about called Unity, and it's perfect timing for me to do. I mean, for me to read this, but it's, I was reading. It was yesterday. It was telling me about this story about Gandhi and on how he was basically, he was very curious about Christianity and during his times in college. And one day, this is him living in India at the time, it was really divided, like, and still kind of is, like, their culture is like, if you're born in one certain type of culture or some type of group, that is what you will be growing up. There's no changing that. Like, you're stuck in that lifestyle. So he wanted to attend church for the first time, to a Christian church for the first time, and they wouldn't let him in at the door. The ushers would not let him in at the door and told him to go worship with people of your kind. So, you know, imagine that. Gandhi, a brilliant mind, someone of that stature could have been a Christian. You know, if someone, it just boggled my mind that somebody like that, I mean, someone in that stature was, history could have been changed basically on that situation had he been accepted into that. It was also talking about this other term called, if I'm saying it right, elitism. Elitism is basically this certain mindset one person would have, is thinking that they are superior. People that, you know, someone of, you know, of, that looks like them, they would be considered superior, and anyone that doesn't look like them or be like or like them were inferior. And that's a lot like what we're dealing with now, is to where we look at other cultures and people who are that doesn't look like us and think less of them, which is not the case. We are all equal in the same, in every aspect, and we should start treating each other as such.
And the thing that I think that people who have that mindset that you just said of the elitism, and just because you're like me, that you are better. Yes, unfortunately, in many cases, these are the people in power. And that is why it is so important that everyone, not just in a presidential election, but in a local election, whether it is, you know, I'm electing the dog catcher, let's make sure we vote for the dog catcher. You know, every vote is important. But that said, those people who do not see but anything but themselves, I think they miss out on so much because they limit themselves and they don't grow.
Mm. You think that you're a top dog, but you're really short-sighting yourself on that. And so many opportunities in that, and so many great minds you could, like, there's so many powerful talents that some people have, regardless of the fact of what they look like. For us to say that you will not amount to something basically simply because of the fact that you have a certain pigment in your skin, it makes it, you know, makes you lighter or darker than me, makes you lesser than me. That is false. That is the most dumbest, this moronic theory you can come up with about somebody saying that they are worth anything. For you, who are you to judge someone to say that they don't have no worth or have no value?
Because here's what happens, and this happens to anybody, and this will happen to the most elitist of the elite. Mm-hmm. When you sit there and in judgment of everybody else, eventually that judgment is going to, and I'm not speaking spiritually or, you know, religiously here. I'm talking about as in just reality of life.
Somebody else
is going to come along and say, oh, well, you're a six-figure job. Guess what? You're not anything because I have a seven-figure job.
Seven-figure. Yep.
You know, it's just inevitable. So I guess where my point of thought here was, I just want anyone listening just to know that just take a moment to be kind to other people. And if you see somebody out there that is different from you, don't think that they're immediately, oh, well, that's somebody different. Look at that as an opportunity to learn about somebody else.
Yes, that is an opportunity to you to build a new relationship. You know, I actually look forward to meeting new people each day. I don't know who I'm going to meet. I hope that person I meet, we become good friends, you know, and whatever it is, you know, I'm talking to people. And that's the thing. That's another issue in our in this society now, is that we really don't want to have one-on-one interaction with one another. Like, we are like either afraid what they might think of us, or we have been hurt in our past or whatever, so we just shut people off. I don't know, but it's whatever the case may be. But we have stopped being people to other people, if that makes sense, you know. And that's something that, like I said, it's a humanity issue that needs to change. That we need to, like I said, just build bridges with one another, be a bridge for all communities, all cultures.
And I hope your son does go back to the building a bridge. You know, he will have an experience that, you know, neither you nor I as a man can understand, or as a human being can understand, because he literally has the, I would say, best of two different worlds. I see your son as the epitome of what I've hoped for you know, almost 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos. But speaking of interracial people, let's take it back to comic books. And you posted something earlier today that actually spurred me to say, let's record, specifically one of my favorite Marvel characters now, Miles Morales. So tell me, Miles has been in the news lately. You want to share why? Man.
Miles is pretty much all over social media and internet, man. Like, he's just blown up. Why? It's because, well, for one, he's getting a sequel into the Spider-Verse movie. I'm pretty sure everyone remembers that movie a couple of years ago. Now it's getting a sequel, which, if you watched the first one, it shouldn't have been much of a shock to you. But now it's official. They have started production as of last week. So that's really exciting. A couple of days ago, the announcement of PS5, they announced a few games, one in particular, the sequel to Marvel Spider-Man, which is going to be telling the story of Miles Morales. So now he's got a game. He's also got a movie coming out coming up. This guy is just blowing up overnight. I actually looked up his first appearance, his first comic book appearance. Before all the announcements came up, it started, I think the pricing on eBay was maybe at most $50. If graded, maybe $100, maybe. Now it's the highest I've seen it, actually, Kyle, is at $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, at $1,000. That's the highest I've seen it go off on eBay, is $1,000. It's amazing how this guy just shot up. I mean, his story is very compelling. Much more, probably, I would say more than Peter's. It's just more appealing, and just like he goes through it probably a lot harder than Peter ever did.
All right. So let me back up for a second for anyone listening who is saying, who the heck is Miles Morales? So Miles Morales made his first appearance in Ultimate Fallout number 4 in August of 2011. This was part of the Ultimate Universe line of Marvel Comics. Since then, he has transitioned to the 616, also known as the main Marvel Universe. And he is also, just as you said, Peter Parker, he is also Spider-Man. So I have a question for you. Miles is not a character with a code name that only belongs to him. He is also Spider-Man. I mean, he is a character, yes, unto himself, but the mantle that he wears is also Spider-Man. Why do you think, when we've had other characters use the same name as another established character, usually they kind of either end up with their own name or they go back into the woodwork and we forget about them? This was a character less than 10 years old, publishing-wise. He has just, from day one, people have loved this character. They didn't reject him because he wasn't Peter. They immediately embraced it. Why do you think that he has been such a magnetic character?
It's hard. I don't know. It's like I said, his story is just, you feel for him immediately. You know, it's not even like, of course, Peter, he didn't ask to be Spider-Man, but neither did Miles. It was just really, he was just thrown into the mix of everything. He was just, I guess you say, almost like an innocent bystander. And you mentioned like how this character, how Miles held on to the title of being Spider-Man. It's like you said, it's two different. You can differentiate both Spider-Man, Miles and Peter, versus to where, you know, Captain America had multiple other characters take on the mantle, but yet he's only stepped down as Captain America. You know, he stepped down for the U.S. agent. And he stepped down for Bucky. He even stepped down for Sam. Thor, there's been multiple other Thors, but he was never Thor. So it's always, if some certain character or a certain superhero has another name, the other one always stepped down. But this one, not necessarily. I mean, granted, yeah, in the Ultimate comic books, the Ultimate version of Peter Parker died for him to come. But when he came into Earth 616, you wonder, okay, is he going to be like a sidekick? Is he going to change his name to Spider-Boy, Spider-Lad, whatever? No, he kept on Spider-Man, but you can tell the difference between the two. Miles is more, like I said, is more of a harder upbringing because it seemed like Michael Bendis like pulled your strings in his story. If you haven't read Miles Morales' story, it's a little spoiler alert for you guys, but go on Marvel Unlimited if you have that app and start reading up on it. Spoiler alert, but his uncle, who in that universe was the Prowler, and during an epic battle between the two, he finds out that he's Spider-Man. They end up fighting, but he ends up killing his own uncle in the fight, who he loved dearly.
Accidentally.
He ends up killing him. And then few issues after that, his mother dies fighting when he was trying to fight Venom. And this was like within two arcs. And it seemed like each arc he was dealing with a hard loss. He lost his uncle. He lost his mother. And then the next arc, his father finds out he's Spider-Man, who he cannot stand, and he disowns him. Sounds a lot darker than what you got in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Right.
It's a lot more sugar-coated, but it is so, like, you feel for this character because he took on this mantle that he didn't necessarily want, but he felt that he had to take on the mantle because New York needed Spider-Man. And for somebody to take on that mantle when he was much younger than what Peter was when he became Spider-Man. Like, I think Miles was maybe 13, 14 when he became Spider-Man versus to where Peter was maybe 16 going on.
16, 17 probably.
Yeah, 17 maybe, yeah. Almost getting out of high school, right? So someone just jumping into high school, maybe in middle school probably. So the stacks of, you know, the state that he was in was so much higher than what it was for Peter. And for him to take on that and still try to be Spider-Man, he actually had a Spider-Man no more before Peter had in his run. I think it was issue 50 that Peter Parker got his, they started that Spider-Man no more story, and Miles got his within the third arc, so which maybe issue 12 or something like that. So you got to think that guy, this kid has went through so much, but yet he kept on after that. When he realized, okay, I can't stay, you know, I can't not be Spider-Man anymore because the city's going crazy. I need to get back on. I need to get back into it. But his story is so much compelling, man. And you have no choice but to root for him.
Well, see, not only that, and I agree with everything you just said, and since we've already, you know, sounded our spoiler warning, I'll go on to say one of the things that endeared me that was very touching in his story at the very beginning was the Aunt May that they had in the Ultimate Universe was so different from that traditional, oh, Peter, you know, Aunt May from the 616. And I remember there was a scene when she actually met Miles and gave Miles Peter's web slingers at the very beginning of his arc. And to me, that just was so passing the mantle. And I just thought that was really, really cool. Another thing that I like about Miles is he is not a carbon copy power set from Peter Parker.
No, he's definitely, in every factor of that, he is different from Peter.
Yeah. The Venom Blast, the Venom invisibility.
Blast, the ability, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But Brian Michael Bendis made every way to make sure this is a different Spider-Man. This is not some kind, like I said, some carbon copy or some, you know, temporary fix until we somehow bring back, you know, Peter. You know, so, but he definitely made sure that you knew the difference between Miles and Peter Parker.
So let me ask you a question. You just put an interesting question that I want to pose to you about what you just said. You said he's not a temporary character. Do you think when he was created in 2011 that the long-term plan was for Miles to stick around the way he has? Or do we think that it was because of the fan reaction that he stuck around the way he has?
I will say this. It's the third. Opposed to this, during its time, this is back in 2011. So Marvel at this time was doing something, trying to shake things up. And Brian Michael Bendis is that type of person too. He's really on to the fact of what we were just discussing in the beginning of this, on this podcast, was about, making a difference in far as there's been an issue in comic books where there weren't enough people of color in comic books. And this was his statement, basically. And you saw that in a lot of other comic books, too. You see how we have the new Miss Marvel, where she is Indian, so a Muslim. So you have that. Then you have a Hispanic Ghost Rider. And then you have the Black Captain America with Sam Wilson. And it definitely, this was his statement, is basically making a change in things and people of color, you know, having someone to look up to in people of color as well.
So what did you think when you first saw Miles? What was your initial reaction to Miles?
My initial reaction was, it was, okay, why would you kill off Peter? Because I was a big Peter Parker fan. But I was like, I wasn't really sure what to think of it, honestly, because I wasn't sure what was the story for Miles. Like, what was your game plan for him, basically? Is this going to be a way to, are you just going to create him basically for what, you know, for him to take on Spider-Man for a while? Like I said, his story, it jumps at you because, like I said, he's so much younger than what Peter was when he became Spider-Man. And his mindset on how to, you know, how to handle it, be a person with superpowers, you know, it definitely changes things. So his reaction to certain things, it was, you know, more, you know, like I said, just more interesting. So that right there, I mean, like I said, initially I wasn't sure about it, not because of it was a Black Spider-Man. It was more so, okay, what is this character going to do? And we're like, what, 8 years down the road now? And now he's got his own movie. He's got a game now. Had multiple, you know, solo books. So
he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. Yeah, he's really not going anywhere. I'm actually surprised it took this long for him to blow up like as he has now. And
do you think from seeing Miles today in comics, because I'll go ahead and give you my opinion. I think the answer to my question is going to be yes. But I think the way he's presented now, so that he's lost some of that, you know, 13, 14 year old. And I know it's been 9 years since they introduced him, but I think he's portrayed now as about at least 16, maybe 17 years old. He seems much older.
Yeah,
he does. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. It definitely changed it now. But I guess he's kind of grown up along with you. His upbringing has, you know, he's matured, and you can see that as, you know, in each issue you read him in, he's matured a little more.
So I will say, as a spoiler, you know, we did paint a very bleak picture for Miles originally in the Ultimate Universe. As a spoiler, I will say that as a gift from another very powerful character in the Marvel Universe, things are not as bad for Miles in 616 since he and his mother and father, moved to the 616. Things got a little happier for Miles. And maybe that's whenever he had the growing spurt, he moved to the 616. But to answer your question about him blowing up why he hasn't, I think what would have happened had Sony and Marvel not made their deal on Peter Parker joining for Civil War, I think Marvel would have come back to the table and said, you guys can take Peter, we're going to take Miles.
Miles. They've slightly, and they kind of made that known in Homecoming. Miles is actually in the MCU universe. His uncle, who was played by Donald Glover, he's in the movie. And he mentioned about his nephew in the movie. So it could happen. How old is his nephew in the movie? We don't know. But they have set that up for it to happen. And in a lot of ways, they've made Tom Holland to be more like the Ultimate Spider-Man than.
Oh yeah, I've always said that. I'm not sure the second Spider-Man, not Tobey Maguire, but Andrew Garfield. I'm not sure which one he is, but yes, very much so. The other one is 100% Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, his name is Ned. He's supposed to be Ned Leeds, but he looks like Miles Morales' best friend, Genki. He's definitely the Ultimate Spider-Man for sure.
So I know we're going to have to wait until 2022 for this movie, but I'm curious, are you an Xbox or are you a PlayStation?
honestly, I am retired, but I have not played any games. But I have watched the, I guess, soup. There, I guess, a few other gamers, they make movies out of their gameplay. And I've watched the gameplay to the Marvel Spider-Man game.
So I am excited about seeing this character get more publicity is awesome to me. I think this was a smart move instead of making, you know, Spider-Man 2 and just changing up the scenery and using Peter again. I think this is so smart. I think this was brilliant on Sony's part because they can basically use this, some of the same gameplay and just change it up some. And he, again, he's got a different power set and it just makes it cool.
It does. It really does. And honestly, like I mentioned, I was retired, but watching that trailer had me so hyped. Like, I kind of want to get this PS5 so I can just play this game. It looks really good, and I'm really excited to see what's going to come out of this game, man.
Well, whoever did the trailer, they were very smart because they started off with the hands, and really, you know, he's got his costume on. And speaking of, we're talking about Into the Spider-Verse, I wish that they would have shown his true costume rather than his original makeshift costume that he had, even though it looks cool with the sneakers and everything. His black and red costume, it just looks so cool to me.
It does. It really does. If they put in the Into Spider-Verse costume, I wouldn't be too mad about that, because it did look pretty cool with him with the hoodie on and his costume as well.
My friend, I think we've had a fantastic conversation, so I want to let you leave a parting gift before we finish up. And so let's say about something that we're watching. What's something that you've been watching lately that you would like to share with the audience?
I got back onto Netflix. I've been rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender. It still holds ground. Like, it is still good. I'm honestly surprised that Nickelodeon, like, approved that story, because it's a little more darker than what I expected for it to be a kid's show, but it still has amazing storytelling and character development. If anybody who has never seen Avatar: The Last Airbender, I highly recommend you watch it. The animated series, not the movie. Don't watch the movie, but the animated series is definitely something to watch. I also heard that Netflix is supposed to be doing a live action series of The Last Airbender.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I will share with everyone, and I know I said something that we're watching, but I can't think off the top of my head something that I am currently watching that's blowing me away right now. So what I will say is, since we have not mentioned lately any public service announcement about the pandemic, there is a podcast out there that I have been lucky enough to be a part of called Listen, Rinse, Repeat. It can be found at listenrinserepeatpodcast.com. And it is basically something that you can listen to while you wash your hands. And there are several ongoing skits in there. And two of I have been lucky enough to be a part of. And one of those is Bagels and Brunettes, which is an spoof on 80s crime cop dramas, and another one called The Boardroom, which is a meta of the Listen, Rinse, Repeat podcast. So listen, rinse, repeat, and wash your hands and stay safe. Ron, it's been a pleasure having you back on with me, as always.
Good to be back, man.
Absolutely. And I can't wait for our next one. And for everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed our conversation, and we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.